Played back to the line. Byram's shot is blocked, but it comes right back to him. Throws it to traffic in front. Benson, a couple of whacks. Scores! Tage Thompson finds the puck, and Buffalo's on the board. Now the Bruins putting some pressure on deep, and it's that top line again. Lindholm with the tie-up. Tage Thompson's got a breakaway. Takes the pass. Deke scores! Tage TNT Thompson! What a goal! 5-3 Sabres! Lindholm can't turn with it. Geeky lost it. Tage Thompson, empty net! Hat trick! Hat trick number 8 for Tage Thompson. And the Sabres are up 6-3 with 45.1 seconds to go. And the Hats start to don the ice of KeyBank Center.
That were all three goals for Tage Thompson. 41st, 42nd, 43rd. Buffalo victorious as Tage getting all three of those tonight. We'll call those the goals of the game. Brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. As we welcome you to the post game, Brian Colzio with you here live at the press box as the Sabres pull away from the Bruins. Buffalo was down 2-0 after one, but they come back. Eventually tie at 3-3 after two and then score all three goals in the third. Zucker gives Buffalo the lead, 1:56 into the third with the game winner. Thompson, his 42nd on a breakaway and then 43rd into the empty net, sealing it for the Sabres, who now have put together a four-game win streak and quite a streak at home. They're 12-2 in their last 14 games here at KeyBank Center. And a very, very impressive run as Buffalo's home record continues to look good here. 21-14-3 on the season, 74 points. The Sabres have now passed the Penguins, so they are now three teams past Buffalo, Boston, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh. Columbus, I guess, is next up on the list of teams to pass. And guess what? They play Columbus on Thursday. The only unfortunate thing for the Sabres is the season's coming to an end. They are playing as good as anybody in the Eastern Conference right now. If you look at the teams in their last 10 games, only the Leafs have more points than the Sabres, who have won 7 of their last 10 and 4 in a row. Montreal, holding on to wild card number 2, has also won 4 straight. So Buffalo needed Montreal to kind of get cold at this moment, and they haven't. They've won 4 straight. Had the Canadiens maybe even gone 2-2 instead of winning 4 in a row, that would put Montreal at 79, and then, well, the Sabres would still be alive, and we'd have meaningful games here starting on Tuesday. Officially, Buffalo not mathematically eliminated. They're 9 back, a maximum of 12 points still to come. Montreal can at most just get 3 more. If Montreal gets 4 more, then Buffalo's season is over. The Canadiens, by the way, are playing right now as we speak, and with a minute to go in the second period, they lead in Nashville by a score of 2-1. So we'll keep you posted on any changes there. Let's head to the room. Live reaction after the 6-3 win. Here's Alex Tuck with Paul.
Thanks, Brian. Alex, despite a few issues in the beginning of the game that wound up in your net, you guys were getting chances. Did you feel if you guys continued offensively to play like that, you were going to be okay?
Yeah, no, I think our first and foremost, we wanted to start playing the right way. I think we came out and, you know, when you start winning games, sometimes you can be a little complacent and think that the game's just going to happen in front of you, and you just got to go out there and work. And that's when the production comes, and that's when the wins start coming. And I thought we had a really slow start, a couple tough plays of the puck where we should have simplified, and given their top line a couple too many opportunities, I think was really tough. And then Lindy talked about it after the game. I thought we had a really good last 40 minutes. It was a good bounce back. It was really mature of our group, and I'm proud of our group, that the way they played the last 40.
How about playing here in this building lately? I think it's 12-2 now in your last 14 in this building. It's like you're making it difficult to play in this place, aren't you?
Yeah, no, it's nice to hear that. I think that was a goal for us at the start of the year, and obviously it took a little bit longer, but I think it has been a hard place to play, and I thought we got an effort from all 20 guys tonight, and obviously Tom with the hat trick is awesome. I thought Opie looked good in the net tonight, and made a couple key saves, especially down the stretch there. And yeah, like you said, we're just trying to make it hard to play. Crowd's bringing their energy, and it's been great.
Aside from the dominance of putting the puck in the net. Just what's it like when Thompson is in control of the puck and just seemingly has guys backing off on him all night like he did today?
Yeah, he's 6'7" with the poise of a Norris candidate and the hands of a little skill guy, and it's awesome to see. And obviously the shot is like none other I've ever seen. So don't tell him I said all those good things, but no, it's been awesome to see how far he's come and how much of a complete game he's been playing. And I mean, the goals are happening right now, but I think he's been playing really well all season, and his production's jumping. I think he's having a really good net focus, and it's been awesome to see.
What do you think about the type of leader that he's become? I mean, he's played with all sorts of different line mates this year. He bumped over to wing. He just seems like it doesn't matter what situation he's in, he's leading the charge for you guys.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, he's the ultimate competitor. He wants to win out there. He wants to score goals. He wants to be a difference maker each and every night. And it's evident. It's really easy to follow. When you're playing with a guy like that, it gives you a lot of energy. And honestly, when he's becoming a superstar, and it's awesome to see. And it's an everyday thing. It's not just once in a while he's going to put up 3-4 goals. It's an everyday thing where he's going to be a threat every time he touches the puck and every time he's on the ice. And the other team is definitely nervous every time he's out there.
This past month, Alex, the way you guys have played, what can you take from it just going toward next season, building and trying to, you know, accomplish what you set out to this year?
Yeah, I mean, not looking towards next season, looking towards next game. I think that's something that we're really focused on is finishing the right way, and not worrying about it, not worrying about what's going to happen in the offseason or anything like that. It's just next game mentality, and I think that's been key. I think not getting too far ahead of ourselves, and like I said, not being complacent, and I thought we turned that around tonight.
Alex, when you see a guy earlier today, Alex Ovechkin at 39 years old, to see what he's doing, what has he got, 42, 43 goals now, I mean, and now he's the leading goal scorer ever in the NHL. What do you think when you see a guy like that? And what does this mean for the league to have a day like today?
I mean, it's incredible. Obviously, he's a really special player. Generational talent. Obviously, it's congrats to him. It was phenomenal accomplishment there. Great feat. Taking down the great one, whenever you can do that, it's pretty special. I love the Sally too. It's awesome Sally to cap it all off. And if we didn't have a game today, I probably would have been watching. I watched the other game the other day, and where he had two goals there. And it's incredible. Honestly, I think it just shows you how talented our league is, and how we just keep striving to become better. No offense to him, but I hope someone beats him now. I hope someone comes in and a young guy comes and beats him, and it'll be another special feat. And it just shows you how far we've come and how skilled the league is nowadays, and it's great.
You're still going to be rolling at age 39?
I hope so. I don't know. We'll see. That's far. That's another 10 years. Let's go with next year and go from there.
Thanks, Alex. Alex Tuck on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Thank you, Paul. Yep. Tuck responding to Ovechkin, of course, setting the record today for most goals ever in the history of the National Hockey League, as he got 895, number 895, against the Islanders in their loss today against New York. But the Sabres honoring Ovechkin multiple times on the scoreboard in the Jumbotron here throughout the day, and I'm sure other teams did as well. And also they posted a video on social media with some of the Sabres congratulating Ovechkin as well. A very, very cool moment for the league. They had a ceremony during the game. It's kind of stopped things for a little bit there, and I thought they did a nice job. But yeah, Tuck having just gleaming things to say about Thompson. His production jumping, net focus, said he's the ultimate competitor, says he gives us a lot of energy, he's becoming a real superstar. I love the line. He says he's a threat every time he touches the puck. I would agree. Thompson, 2 years ago when he scored 47, you felt like every time he was with the puck going toward the offensive zone that something good was going to happen. And now, look, he's got a chance to maybe match his career high. Speaking of Thompson, he's up next, live with Paul.
Tage, you guys were getting chances to score, but you also had some bad puck management that wound up in your net in the first period. But did you know if you cleaned that kind of stuff up with the chances you guys were getting, you'd eventually be able to come back?
Yeah, I think the first period was a little sloppy. A little careless with the puck. But I think we were able to come in here, reset, and we know as a group we can score. So I think it was just about scoring the right way. I think you see our first three goals were just painted in front of the net and getting pucks there, getting traffic, and just played simple.
Has it been an important step for this group to put a stop to maybe some of those habits in the middle of a game rather than having, you know, what happened in Philly, for example, and letting it get away from you guys?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, we've had a pretty bad habit of when we get behind in games, obviously you got to fight your way back and you need to score. And that's when sometimes you can compound mistakes and try to force plays that aren't there to try to create offense, and you end up digging yourself a deeper hole. So I think we knew if we just played the right way, the goals would come for us. I think we know we've proven to ourselves that we can score. So I think it's just not getting bored playing the right way when you don't see results right away. So I think I like the commitment to battling back and finding a way, to gut out a win tonight.
And your first goal, it just seemed like, I mean, Benson's out battling a guy. It's 6'3" and 6'4". They're both about 210 or 215, and he out battles them both and keeps the puck alive and gets it to you. I know we keep talking about it, but how does he do it at his side to be able to out battle both those guys?
I think it's just will, determination. He's hungry for the puck, and he wanted it more than they did. And, I'm sitting there in the slot and it spits right out to me. So, great battle by him, not just on that play, but all night. I think Kim and Cooley were going tonight, moving their feet, in hard on the forecheck, disrupting pucks. And, when you're doing things like those, you usually get rewarded. So, that was good to see him get some points on that.
Even above the goals tonight, Tage, how in control, how dominant did you feel with the puck? It almost felt like at times you could do whatever you wanted and maintain possession however you needed.
That's definitely something I try to do is hold on to pucks and use my size and my strength to create offense and find open guys or create space for myself to get a shot. I think, some games you feel pretty good and feel like I've been generating quite a bit of chances recently, and sometimes when you're playing like that, you just get some confidence, and when you're making one play, you seem to make another and kind of just build from there. And I think obviously, the team's been playing good as well, which helps me as an individual to create more space. My line mates are finding me in open ice, and felt good tonight.
You've got 175 goals in your career. You've been a standout really for 4 years here. Can you even comprehend 895 goals? Is that even?
No, it's not human. I think especially in today's game, it's just beyond incredible. Woke up from my nap and saw on social media and just saw it all over the place. So, unreal accomplishment, and to be able to, be saying that I'm playing while it's occurred is pretty special.
How about passing him? You passed him.
Yeah, maybe for a season. I don't know if I have many more seasons of that, but not as consistent as he's been for sure.
Can you believe though?
You're four off your career high, seven short of 50. Has stuff like that crossed your mind? I mean, 50. I mean, maybe it's not likely, but it's doable. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I think when you set personal goals for yourself, once you hit them, you kind of just keep adjusting them. And, obviously hit one of them the other night, and I just kind of keep raising the bar and seeing how far you can go. And, it's definitely a goal of mine, and we'll see if I can get there.
When you stop to think that he's doing this at age 39, I mean, he's right with you in goals, and he's at age 39. Does that just make it more amazing that he's able to play at this level at that age?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm probably right there with him in goals, trying to keep up to him. But, it's incredible. I think he's obviously, the greatest goal scorer of all time for a reason. It's just, I think to be a goal scorer and to be that consistent, you just – the smarts you have to find those spots to get yourself into areas where you can get shots off. I mean, he's been playing the game for how long, and you would think by now people would try to sit on him or take him away, but His ability to find open ice and get those shots off is something that I really admire, and try to, you know, kind of iso cam where he is on the ice sometimes and try to apply to my game. So he's been one of my favorites to watch, and yeah, it's pretty remarkable to see the consistency he's had throughout his whole career.
Next stage. Tate Thompson on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Stuff there from Thompson on Ovechkin, from one good goal scorer to the greatest goal scorer right there. Thompson with 43 goals, three tonight, first star honors, and another hat trick, his second of the season, both of them coming against the Bruins this season as Buffalo wins at 6-3. All right, Lindy Ruff is coming up, so we'll get to our final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots in the third. Buffalo out shooting Boston in all three periods, 13-6 in the third. Overall in the game, 37-21. In the nets, it was Lukanen with the win, 3 against, 18 saves. Korpisalo the loss, 36 shots on goal, 31 saves. He let in 5, and of course the last shot went into the empty net. Individually, as we look at some stats here for Buffalo, 6 shots for Thompson to lead the way. A lot of players with a lot of shots in this game. Dahlin had 4. Zucker had 4. Benson had 4. Of course, Buffalo adding up to 37 in this game. If you look at the shot attempts, 73 for Buffalo. That's quite a few shot attempts in this game. Hits, who led the way? Well, let's see. Benson had 3. Malenstein had 3. Block shots, multiple, Clifton with 2 and Byram with 2. I thought Byram had a nice game tonight. A couple of assists and got it done with a couple of block shots there. So those are some of your individual stats. Power play now as we go to our DynaBraid.com power play update powered by DynaBraid Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. The Sabres tonight, 0 of 2. Boston only went on the power play one time. That was when Peterka went to the box for holding, and Boston did score there. Middle stat against his old team. As Boston goes 1 for 1, and the Sabres 0 of 2. The attendance tonight at KeyBank Center, 15,653. 3 stars were all Sabres. Tuck gets star number 3 as he got his 33rd goal of the season. He also had an assist. Dahlin with a goal and an assist, his 15th of the year, star number 2. And, of course, Thompson with the 3 goals, 41, 42, and 43. He is star number 1. The homestand will continue for Buffalo. They take on Carolina on Tuesday. That's a 7 o'clock puck drop against the Hurricanes. And the Sabres have been red hot at KeyBank Center. Again, they've won 12 of their last 14, so a 12-2 stretch at home. It's been a long time since the Sabres have had any sort of stretch like this in their building. You probably got to go back to the last time this team made the playoffs, the time that they were that good at home. One thing Lindy Ruff said is one of his preseason goals, if you remember back to September, he said they had to establish a home ice advantage again, and at least it's trending in the right direction. 6-3, Sabres win it. Here's Lindy Ruff now live meeting with the media.
Yeah, you know what, puck management costs us against the top line. You know, something we talked about this morning that we didn't execute, and we handed them a couple gifts. And I think the good part of that is that we were able to correct that and simplify the game, and we got rewarded for it. And I thought after the first period, we played a great game.
How much of that is, you know, early in the season? You get in a rut like that first period, you end up having to fix it tomorrow or the next game. And you were able now to really arrest that kind of thing in the middle of the game in one intermission and turn the game around.
Yeah, well, I think they all understand now. They got a real good understanding of, you know, the quality of chances you give up if you don't get pucks deep, or if you make a play at the end of your shift. And then what compounds it is if you make that play with the other team's best players on the ice. It makes it even worse, and that's what we did.
Pleased to see that
your group, you know, after the first period, really allowed Uko, didn't face a lot, but allowed him to kind of get settled into the game a little bit, unlike Philadelphia, for example.
Yeah, you know, I didn't like I said, part of the first period is you got to face an odd-numbered rush, and then you got to face another backdoor play, and you're just getting back into the net. I don't think it's fair for your goaltender, hasn't played a lot. And it was the same thing in Philly. But I thought they gave him the last 40 minutes that he needed. And he made a couple of good saves there. Made a save when it was, I think, 2-0. That was a big save for us. And then I thought we really kept them at bay after that.
Really, I mean, every game it feels like he's going to score. You called him dominant last night. Just what over this past week or two has allowed him to elevate to like another level, I guess?
I really think he's skating well right now. I think that line has had some good chemistry. I think the fact Kulik's game is really back to where it needs to be has freed him up to take off. You know, you don't get a breakaway like that if you're playing center on your own end. So there's a lot of pluses to being on the wing, and Cooley's done a really nice job. And I thought the other part is Benson had a heck of a night with the puck down low. So they've got good chemistry, that line.
What role did Auslan's line really play? I mean, you talk about simplifying. They did that the entire game, really, as a group.
I thought they were the really, on a whole, the best line when it came to generating – you know, positive energy, getting the pucks in, creating opportunities. They kind of set the tone for us and got us some traction, even in the first period with a couple of the shifts. I thought Lafferty had one of his best nights just getting on the puck, and, you know, Mal really skated well, was in on checks, and Auslan, like when he's defending, he hasn't really made a mistake yet. His reads have been good. He's been good at being that second guy in the puck in our own zone, and he's broke the puck out well. Thanks.
All right, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff following a 6-3 victory by the Buffalo Sabres. If you're listening to us on your way home, we appreciate it. Your drive home from the game brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, celebrating 90 years of business. 6-3 Buffalo. That's 12 of 14 wins here at KeyBank Center and 4 in a row. And they'll try to make it 5 Tuesday night, 7 o'clock against Carolina. We'll have the pregame at 6. Hope you can be with us right here on the Sabres Radio Network. All right, at this time, we're going to say goodbye to all of our local affiliate stations. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com, or you can listen in on the Odyssey app. When we come back, we'll get Paul Hamilton's final take on this one. We'll run you down the rest of the NHL lineup. We'll also read some tweets as we'll get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Send in the tweets at BrianWGR. Final score, Sabres 6, Bruins 3. More postgame right after this. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Lindholm sends it ahead, and Boston's got a 2-on-1 with Pasternak feeding it across, and the shot. Good defensive play, and then on the goal line, Samuelson cleared it before Pasternak could tap it in.
Save of the game for Mukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Dan Dunleavy on the call. Brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Welcome back here to the press box at KeyBank Center. Brian Colziel with you. The Sabres continue their home ice success. A 6-3 victory over the Bruins. They've now gone 12-2 in their last 14 here at KeyBank Center. Tage Thompson's tonight is leading the way. He gets his 41st, 42nd, and 43rd of the year first star honors. His 8th career hat trick on a night in which he had 11 shot attempts, and the Sabres win after being down 2-0 after one. Okay, down to the media room we go, and we'll get Paul Hamilton's final take. Paul, a nice response from the Sabres after a first period that all the players that you spoke with, including Lindy Ruff, said that their puck management issues kind of came back, but they solved it, and the remaining 40 minutes they played very well.
Yeah, even with the puck issues, they could have had a 3-2 lead easily in that period. They had a lot of good scoring opportunities, but their puck management was horrendous. Paterka's lucky he didn't get benched in that game because he coughed it up to Pasternak, which led to the second goal, and then he took a penalty that led to the Middlestat power play goal in the second period. And so, you know, he's kind of lucky Lindy Ruff hung with that, but you know, the Sabres were able to overcome it, and it allowed Luukkonen to get into the game a little bit. You know, he overplayed the first shot, you know, but, you know, and Lindy Ruff talked about it. Just go, you got a goaltender who hasn't been in a while. They never let him get into the game in Philadelphia, and it went south on him, and this was starting to go south on him. But then the Sabres played better and allowed him to get into the hockey game. you know, where, you know, they had seven shots in the first period, eight shots in the first period, seven in the second, and five in the third, and 20 overall. And I thought as the game went on, Luukkonen did look more confident. You know, he didn't look confident to start with, but he only played, what, one out of, I believe it's seven games, something like that. And it wasn't a good game. It was a seven-goal game against, and he had 2 7-goal games in his last five starts. So, you know, he hasn't been in the net, and then that happens right off the bat where the Sabres are not supporting him. He overplays the first one, and they score the second one. I'm on a turnover. And now, you know, that doesn't help a goaltender who hasn't played. And I thought I agree with Lindy Ruff 100%. He needed the rest of that game where he made some good saves along the way, but he wasn't being peppered. They weren't giving the Bruins golden opportunities to be able to score goals. And, you know, they got one more on a power play right from inside the crease there. Nobody knocked down Mittelstadt, and he's able to score as the puck's bouncing around in there. That's not on him. So, you know, at least, you know, he got a chance to find his footing, but who knows when's the next time he's going to be in the net. So, you know, he gained that confidence, but he might have to sit on it for a bit.
Yeah, the Sabres have a game next on Tuesday, then Thursday, then Saturday. There's only one more back-to-back. That's next weekend. With Florida and Tampa on the road. Paul, obviously, Thompson had a huge hand in this. He gets three, and closing in on that career-high number of 47. He's now up to 43. He, in the second and third, was like Thompson of 2 years ago, where every time he had the puck, you thought maybe it might end up in the net.
Yeah, and that's the thing, not just because he scored three goals, but, you know, Lindy Ruff thought he was the best player on the ice last night, and he wasn't far from it if he wasn't the best player today. He probably was, I think. And, I'm going to change that. Benson was the best player on the ice today, but Thompson wasn't too far off it. And he seems to have jumped to another level he just wants to be involved and wants to win hockey games and, you know, just kind of like the rest of the team, that all of us, you know, I'll keep saying it, the watershed moment was when Thompson got jacked against Jersey, and everybody stood around and looked at it, and they met about it, and they talked about it, and Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams and the players themselves just said, that cannot happen. You have to become teammates together. And ever since that point, they've been a much better team. And it's too little, too late. I understand that. A lot of people want to say that. A lot of people, you know, get offended because I talk about them playing well. And, you know, that's part of the job. You know, you say it when they play poorly and you say it when they play well. I'm not saying they're going to win the Stanley Cup. I'm not going to saying that they're going to run the table and Montreal's going to lose the rest of their games and they're going to get in the playoffs and win the Cup. I'm not saying it'll even carry over into next year. I'm not convinced that carryovers happen. But they are learning how to play the game. They are learning how to win games. They are learning that what Lindy Ruff is telling them to do will work if they will do it. Tonight's a perfect example of, you know, they weren't doing it. And Mike asked the question that they kind of corrected it in the same game. How often did you see that early in the year? It would just get worse, and then they would panic, and then they would sit back, and then the result was what we saw. And now, you know, they were able to correct it after falling behind 2-0 and then outscored the Bruins 6-1 in the last 40 minutes.
6-3, Sabres beat the Bruins. Paul Hamilton with me here, Brian Colziel on the postgame. Up next is Carolina, who will likely have little to play for. They're locked into second in the Metro. They are 11 behind Washington and 7 ahead of New Jersey, so pretty much they're set where they need to be. You mentioned Montreal, Paul. They're playing right now. They're leading in Nashville 2-1 with 12 minutes to go in the game. If Montreal wins, that means that the Sabres, I guess you'd say magic number to be eliminated in the bad way, would be down to one. That means the Canadians could only get one more point.
Yeah, it's win out and lose out is your only way.
Yeah, Buffalo has 6 games left. So if they go 6-0, the max they can get is 12 more points, which would give them 86. And if Montreal wins tonight, that gets them 85. So, yeah, you'd be one Montreal win away, even if Buffalo does go 6-0. They got everybody else in the East to play poorly here down the stretch here these last 2 weeks, except for the Canadiens. Montreal has won four in a row to match Buffalo's winning four in a row. The other teams around them, Rangers, Wings, Islanders, and Blue Jackets, they've cooperated enough that we could be having an interesting conversation, but Montreal was the one of the five teams that did not cooperate, which is why essentially it's over.
Or if they had the NBA format, you could be having an interesting conversation too.
Oh, for sure. The play-in part games, yes, that would be you've got two more in there. Now all these games are much more meaningful for sure. All right, Paul, well, how about the response there from Dahlin? After Mittelstadt gets the goal to make it 3-2, after Buffalo seemingly maybe is taking control of the game, Boston gets the lead back, but what does the captain do? Less than a minute later, gets it right back to 3-3. There's the response, again, that maybe earlier in the season the team wasn't getting.
Am I allowed to correct the math teacher?
Yes.
153 later.
It was 1738 and 1831.
1638 on the score sheet.
Let me check the score sheet there.
And my notes say 1638.
It's 1638. You're right. My fault.
But actually, you were right for what you were looking at. You were right for what you were. So you weren't wrong.
My own
notes didn't have didn't have the right time written down.
Yeah. Yes. Now it's definitely over a minute for sure.
So all right, we can still have faith in the math teacher. The math was right.
My question and comment, I guess I'll still say, is the same though. It was a nice response right away that maybe they hadn't gotten earlier in the year.
And they've been doing that. Getting responses. The Capitals game in Washington is a perfect example when Ovechkin scores and they blow the roof off the place to make it 6-4. And then right after that, they get a goal that they thought was Ovechkin and it wound up getting tipped right after that. And it becomes 6-5 and the place is going absolutely, it's a madhouse. And they would have lost that game 10 out of 10 times earlier in the year. They would have freaked out. They would have sat back and they would have lost the hockey game. Instead, they went out and responded very quickly and scored the goal to make it 7-5 and took the crowd out of the game. And that's the difference in what they're doing now. They're getting confidence in playing Lindy Ruff's way and understanding that if they want to win games and they want to be a playoff team, that's the way they have to play. Now, who knows what we're going to see next October. And that's the thing. The reason it's hard to carry over from one season to the next is because you have new players. This team isn't going to be exactly what you're looking at next year. It better not be. There are going to be some different players on the team. So it's hard to pick up right where you left off. But, at least some of these younger players, and even some players like Tage Thompson, he's never won in this league. Tuck has with Vegas, but, with the Sabres, he hasn't. Dahlin hasn't won in this league. Samuelson hasn't won in this league. We can go right down the line. A couple have. McLeod has. But, it's a good learning experience for some of them that this is what it feels like to win in the National Hockey League. Whether they remember it next October, I can't say. I don't have a crystal ball. Maybe that's why, Lindy Ruff is going with Reimer. It's like, let's show this team how to win. Let's give them that feeling where they finish the season on a huge winning streak or something like that. So they know what it feels like, and they know what to revert to if, they get in a jam. And that's because, to me, I thought you're not doing Lukanen or the team any favors by sitting him as much as they have. But Lindy Ruff might look at it a different way, that he thinks the team gets more out of winning hockey games than worrying about one of your goaltenders.
Paul, let's finish with the news of the day. Alex Ovechkin passes Wayne Gretzky. He gets goal 895 in the Capitals' loss against the Islanders. You asked Tuck and you asked Thompson, who are, Buffalo's, I guess at this moment, top two goal scorers, about the accomplishment. And, they both obviously had great things to say, but it's the longevity piece that I think both of them at some point alluded to that is really impressive about what Ovechkin did.
And me too. I mean, I just can't believe he's playing like this at age 39. As I've said before, I've seen Jaromir Jagr do it, but it doesn't happen very often. You should have seen when I mentioned it to Alex Tuck. I says, "Are you going to be doing this at age 39?" And he just started laughing and rolled his eyes. He's like, "I'm worried about being at age 29. you know, right now. So it's just, it's not done very often. And for a player to be able to stay at a high level like he is just absolutely amazing to me right now. And it's just the age that we're talking about that he's doing it at. And I agree with you. I can't wrap my head around it that somebody can play at this level at age 39 and be right with Tage Thompson when we're talking about 43 goal scorers. You know, to be able to do that is just unbelievable.
Yeah. Okay, Paul. Well, I guess one more thought here quick. The home ice really impressive streak here continues now. 12-2 in their last 14, and they'll get a chance to do it again at home on Tuesday against Carolina.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll see where Carolina's at. Notice, I don't know if you noticed that Florida sat a lot of people today. So teams that are kind of stuck in a certain spot, how much are they going to sit out players? You know, so I think that's something to consider. As you mentioned when you were talking about the standings, Carolina is kind of, you know, where they're going to be. So
yeah, they're stuck in second for sure.
Right, right. So we'll see, you know, as they come down here, are you going to get full lineups or are you not? I've been curious. I keep saying it. I've been looking at – I just wanted to see Jaromír Jágr's stats. No, he wasn't scoring 40 goals until he was, 39 years old. The last time he scored 40 goals was the year he scored 54 for the New York Rangers in 2005 and 2006. Now, you know, he had some 20-goal years. He had a 30-goal year, a 25, a 25, a 22, a 24, but – the 24 was in the Czech League, I'm sorry. In the NHL, he had a 25, a 30, a 25, a 19, a 24 in 2013 and 14 with the Devils. So he was still playing at a high level, but he certainly wasn't, scoring the goals at age 39. He would have been 2011 and 2012 would have been when he was 39-40. In 2011-12 with the Flyers, he had 19 goals and 54 points. So even Jaromír Jágr wasn't producing like Alex Ovechkin is at age 39.
Yeah, really, really impressive for sure. Well, Paul, with the standings that you mentioned here, Ottawa might still be the most interesting story. Not only are they going to make the playoffs, but in the standings right now, they're quietly catching up to Florida. They're only two back of the Panthers, who are in third, who have lost three straight. They have the Tkachuk injury, which obviously is a big blow. But we could see Florida drop into a wild card and Ottawa jump into third in the Atlantic, which, God, I would have never have predicted the Senators to finish in the top three, but they're only one win away from doing that.
Considering what Florida did today with their lineup, you think that's what they want? Because otherwise they're opening against Tampa.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they want to open against Tampa.
Well,
They might rather open against Toronto or somebody like that.
Yeah, if you're wild card one, you're definitely going to play the Atlantic champ because Washington has 107, and the Atlantic leader right now is 98. So the Atlantic winner will play wild card one.
I'd rather play Toronto than Tampa if I'm Florida.
Yeah.
Without question.
That's such a physical series that you'd have with Tampa. And they've obviously battled over the years. You're right. I think they would rather go ahead and play the Leafs.
So they may have it in their heads. Let's rest some guys, and wherever the standings fall, they fall. And if we happen to go into the first wild card, oh, well, we'll take the Leafs.
Yep. This is another, I think, negative of the playoff format, is that it wouldn't be so clear cut. If it was just 1 through 8, there'd be a lot more jostling going on because you'd have New Jersey with 89 that would be in the mix. You'd have Tampa with 94 who'd be in the mix in there. But because 2 and 3 are going to play no matter what in each division, it kind of there's less drama. So I don't know. We've argued, Paul, for years why this format is not our choice. For a variety of reasons, and we'll add another one to the file. Here,
and
I guess.
The Leafs, I understand why they're upset about it. I mean, they get bounced every year, except one recently, in the first round. And yeah, you got to beat these teams eventually, but it shouldn't be a first round matchup. And I would be upset, as much as I don't mind watching the Leafs get bounced, to be quite honest. I understand. I get it. It's not fair. It really isn't. They shouldn't have to open against these teams when other teams, you know, don't have to do that, maybe aren't in such a competitive division or things like that. I don't think it's right, and I understand why they're not happy about it.
And just look at the West. If you are in the Central, Dallas has 105 points. They're in second. Colorado is in third with 98. That is the third highest point total and the fifth highest point total. And Dallas and Colorado are going to play each other.
That's
three
crazy.
Versus five in the entire NHL, and they have to play in round one.
That's not right. Yeah. They used to do it when there was 21 teams and 16 teams made it. They didn't care about conferences. One plays 16. That's why the Sabres played the Vancouver Canucks in the first round a couple of times, or you know, the St. Louis Blues or somebody like that, because they just did it by points. One through 16, one plays 16, two play, there's no buys. Two plays 15, and it wasn't quite as unfair unless you wound up in the, what would have been the 8-9 spot or the 9-10 spot, whatever that would have been. I think it's the 8-9 spot maybe, that you know, you're going to play a team that's pretty close to you then. But that's where you are, at least in the standings. But, you know, if you were one of the better teams, you didn't have to sit there and roll up against a team that's, you know, two spots under and you both have 100 points.
Yep. If I had total control, I'd cut back. I'd take 10 games off the schedule. I'd make it 70. I'd add the play-in rounds for the seeds 7, 8, 9, and 10. That also gives seeds 1 through 6 3 to 4 days extra of rest. And we know how teams play better when they're rested and they're healthy. So not only would there be races for 7, 8, 9, and 10, but now teams 11 and 12 and 13 have meaningful games down the stretch. You'd have more interest and more bodies in the seats and more attendance and more TV ratings. But also there would be a battle to stay in the top six. So teams 5, 6, 7, and 8 would be battling so that you could get that extra rest and kind of get that little mini buy. And then I'd scrap the indivisional things. They would still go back to be a 1 plays 8, 2 plays 7s kind of thing. I don't know. I've got it all fixed for the league, Paul. But no,
I actually looked at it right now. Try this on. If it were 1 against 16, Winnipeg would play Calgary. The Washington Capitals would play New Jersey. Dallas would then tangle with Ottawa. You see how those aren't as unfair as we're talking about?
Right.
Number 4 is Vegas. So Vegas's opponent would then be Minnesota. The Florida Panthers are down there, believe it or not. They're 12th in the league right now. So the Toronto Maple Leafs would play the Florida Panthers, even in this format.
Yeah.
And let me see what color. I want to see what Colorado. Colorado would be next, and they would play the St. Louis Blues. So I think this would be a much fairer format. Now, the team that's going to be stuck in that 8-9 spot would be Carolina against Tampa. So that's not quite as fair. You know, and then the Los Angeles Kings would play Edmonton. So those series would be closer, but they also, they're the ones in the middle of the pack.
Right.
So that's what you get when you're in the middle of the pack. But it's not as unfair to the teams that have more points.
Yeah. And the Sabres currently, if you're wondering where are they in the entire league, they're 24th. They're ahead of Anaheim, Pittsburgh, Seattle, Philadelphia, Boston, Nashville, Chicago, and San Jose. And I guess, here we go, Paul, for the eighth time, last question here. Lindy Ruff. I know every time the Sabres win right now, I'm definitely always getting a few tweets of they're ruining their draft position. And whatever value that Lindy Ruff has in it, Paul, I think Lindy is obviously establishing that he cares more about winning right now and establish and learning that these guys know how to win versus maybe losing a few percentage points of draft lottery balls.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? I mean, they have so many players right now. What difference does it make? They're players that they can't even get to right now, they don't have enough spots. They don't have enough NHL spots to be able to have all these. That's why they traded Savoy for McLeod, who I think is a very good trade for them. But you know, you've got, you know, all these guys that they just drafted. They just drafted, what, 3, 6, 8 guys in 2024. Five of them in the top four rounds. In 2023, they drafted 8 guys, 5 of them in the top four rounds. In 22, they drafted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 guys. 6 of them in the first 4 rounds. you don't have enough room for all these guys that you've drafted. Even in the 2021, Rosanne's not up here yet. Poltepov's still in Russia. Kisikov, I don't think so. Sardanian's in college. Nadeau is signed in the East Coast League. Kozak is finally here. Novikov, a defenseman, he's in Rochester. What are you going to do with all these guys? I couldn't care less about draft picks right now. People were all tied in knots because there was a second round pick involved in the Cousins trade. I couldn't care less. It doesn't matter. Right now, to me, it's all currency. It's currency to use to make this team better now. And first of all, do a little research, folks. If you think that, the draft isn't that good this year. So you're not getting a fantastic first overall pick if that is where what you're trying to think. It's not that great of a draft. So I would just say stop worrying about it. Worrying about, you know, getting some veteran people to play with Owen Power. Worrying about getting some veteran people to put in your top six to help these younger players play. Develop these players that you've got who are good prospects and develop them correctly. And, and worry about that. Don't worry about where you are in the draft. I couldn't care less where they are in the draft. The draft means nothing to me right now. They need to start getting this team better now, not drafting players that are going to be here in 4 years.
I agree. Thank you, Paul. We'll talk to you here Tuesday night.
Okay.
All right, Carolina will be the opponent, Sabres and Hurricanes, at 7 o'clock. Buffalo, again, still without three players that would all be in the lineup. No Jordan Greenway, no Josh Norris, no Tyson Kozak, and no firm timetable from the team in terms of their return here, as the Sabres have just 6 games left. The injury report is brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus. All right, Jonathan Colziel here. We're going to check the scoreboard here. We go around the league, brought to you by Fecal-Kyre and Joyce, your border attorneys.
Thank you, Brian. You had mentioned the Canadians still in play here. They are currently the only game in play tonight right now. Just in the final minutes, 2:29 left in the third, they still hold the 2-1 lead over the Predators. Coming up at 10 o'clock, it is the Canucks and Golden Knights from Vancouver. Finals from earlier today, the big news of the day, obviously Alex Ovechkin breaking the scoring record, finally taking over Wayne Gretzky for most goals scored in a career, though the Capitals do lose today 4-1 to the Islanders. Final in overtime, the Wild take care of the Stars. Senators shut out the Blue Jackets 4-0. Linus Ullmark with 30 saves in that one. Red Wings beat the Panthers 2-1, and the Blackhawks beat the Penguins 3-1. Women's College National Championship today. UConn wins big over South Carolina 82-59. And the Men's National Championship is coming tomorrow night. It is Florida and Houston from San Antonio, with a scheduled 8:50 tip-off on CBS. Brian.
Thank you. 6-3 Sabres. Let's get to our tweets here as we get connected with our fans. Powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. I'll throw the question at you, Jonathan, here. Russ says about Lukanen, I only see him starting one more at this pace, the back-to-back next weekend with Florida and Tampa. Would you trade him and just give up on him and go with Levi and Reimer next year?
I think you and Paul mentioned it earlier in pregame. I think we kind of alluded to it last night too. Is it the three goalies here next year in camp? Is it Reimer?
Now Reimer would have to agree to a contract too.
Levi and UPL here. What are you getting out of a Lukanen trade right now, though?
Like, right, and I'll argue that it has to be what Paul just said. Any trade has to make you better now.
Yeah.
Lukanen for a second-round draft pick or a third-round draft pick or a prospect doesn't interest me. If Lukanen plus Hellenius gets you a top-six forward, or Lukanen plus Hellenius gets you your second pair D, okay, now I'm listening. I'm not even saying that's what it does, but if, right, you know, whatever it does that gets you a hole that will immediately play at the start of October next year, well, now I'm listening. Levi in the playoffs upcoming, too. We're going to see what he does with the Amerks. He's been great this year.
Yep, and, you know, Levi's been up and down here in the NHL. You know, they may trust him to try and win the job next year in camp, and he may or may not take it. So
Yeah, you're right. I mean, a lot of that depends on if Levi takes it. They've let him twice say, look, the job is yours if you show us, and he hasn't yet.
Yeah. And it's tough, too, because, you know, it may be Reimer. It may be another veteran guy here next year. You know, Paul mentioned that Reimer seems to enjoy it here, even on a down season for the team. But, you know, you wonder even if they're going to plan on bringing a veteran guy back here. So it's I think that is clearly the most up-in-the-air position, even coming down the stretch. And maybe if Reimer was 5 years younger, they'd say, hey, like...
Right, we can really afford to trade Luukkonen because we know...
Yeah, you know, we might have you here for 2 years, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, having the age of Reimer right now, it's tough to sit there and commit, even to him being the backup next year.
Right. Yeah, I'd agree. A lot of unknowns there for sure. Well, up next for we do know, the Sabres' next game will be against Carolina as they try to keep the winning ways going. They've won four straight. They'll look for five Tuesday night, 7 o'clock against Carolina, 6 o'clock pregame. We'll have it for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network. With that, we're going to wrap up the postgame. Want to thank our crew, TJ Luckman back in our Amherst studios, our network producer. Thank you, TJ. The crew here at KeyBank Center, Jonathan Colziel anchoring and producing. Tom Maddy is our engineer. Paul Hamilton is our reporter. Our game announcers are Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colziel. Thank you for listening. The final again, Buffalo 6, Boston 3. We will talk to you here Tuesday night, Sabres and Hurricanes, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.